There's a code of silence, and it can't go on.
Hi, folks. I'm Alan Watt, and this is Cutting Through the Matrix. Those who have heard me before hear me on Cutting Through the Matrix, where I go into the histories of this poor old planet of ours that really doesn't belong to us and probably never did, unless you get there before the advent of wealth and money. And that's the world we live in. It's an ongoing show where reality has been propagated to the public, instilled in our minds, helped by our parents who didn't know any better either, and way down the line for thousands of years, because the world is run by a select few families, really, that interbreed like crazy and have held the incredible wealth. In fact, they decided what wealth was a long, long time ago. And it's very interesting that all of their symbols go back to Egypt. And all of those same symbols are all around us in company logos today, especially the big boys, the ones who own all the banks. And I'm certain they've also been behind the creation of all the major religions that certainly have dominated them and run them right up to the present. And they're the elite of all religious groups. They're the top of all religious groups. And the big mystery is, who are these people? It's interesting to watch the Queen of England, for instance, go through her inauguration many, many years ago, sitting on the raised dais, which is just a pyramid, a step pyramid, holding the scepter and a little part that looks like a little crook, like the pharaoh did in ancient times. You'll see the same thing chiseled out in the stelas in Egypt. So ceremonies that were carried out thousands of years ago, right down to the ermine round the neck, the ermine, the black and white dots that Nimrod wore, are still worn today, and no one tells us why. Very interesting. But our world has been run by small groups, a small group really of people, down through the ages, that moved around even in ancient times. And we tend to forget that Egypt itself dominated the ancient world for almost 5,000 years. That's a long time. A long 5,000 years. And they used to create cities for bureaucrats to deal with all their State Department, you might call it, or Foreign Affairs Department in the Commonwealth countries, to deal with all the incoming and outgoing mail. And they found some of these cities and dug up tablets with all the data that modern bureaucracies deal with. And it's mainly to do with population, how many people are there, how many pay taxes, and all the buying and selling taxes as well, costed into it all. It was a huge business thousands of years ago, and nothing much has changed. Nothing much has changed, except that after moving down through the centuries and pulling their money out of one empire as they create the next, and flattening the one behind it, they're up to the global system now. The world, you see, is the little scepter she holds in her hand.
It's interesting just to look at ancient Babylon. And there are many levels of meaning to Babylon. It wasn't just a place, it was a system. And Babylon can move down through the ages. And what's important to know is that with the higher belief system that runs the occult societies at the top, the higher occult, not the nonsense that everyone at the bottom pay their way into and get a few passwords and they learn to sit in their backsides and meditate and all this stuff, or find their spirit guide or whatever. But the real stuff at the top, and those characters talk about circles. One of the most ancient symbols being the one of the serpent eating its tail. Again, many different levels of meaning, which I can't go into right here. But when the ancient Egyptian nobility wore the aureus, the serpent in front of their skull, their head, as a third eye almost. It was on a band around their head, the circle, representing the same thing of completion. Meant the universe was contained within the mind of the person who had been taught, who was wise as a serpent, and who also guarded his mind from extraneous nonsense. The extraneous nonsense was only for the public, because they would be given a different reality from those in the know. But circles are very important, since they studied the ancient stars, because the ancient brotherhood studied the movements of the moon, the sun, the stars, and they graphed it all, they drew it all out in charts. Circles are important. Not everything does travel in a complete circle, but circles are important to do with time. Getting back to Babylon, being a system, they say that everything starts with a point. To start a circle, a straight line, whatever, a journey. But we've completed a circle.
Every elite of every nation on this planet belong to one big club, and they're all in cahoots together. And it doesn't matter what they call themselves, the ones running Christianity, Judaism, the Muslims or whatever, they're all part of the multi-billionaire club, and they've been intermarrying each other for centuries. They don't care about religions, they have their own higher religion, and they truly believe that they are all technically the Darwinian proof of superiority. Now we'll go on to Steve from Denver. You're there, Steve. Hello, Steve.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, this is Dan.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, am I on with Alan?
Yes.
Okay, yes. I had a quick question for you. You had mentioned something on another one of your shows. Well, someone brought it up to you. You agreed with them. Something about the Dalai Lama being a 360-degree Mason. Can you expound on that? And tell us, are there any other 360-degree Masons? And what does that mean?
I don't see, he definitely was a 365, but it wouldn't surprise me if he was certainly way up there. That's what I said. Anyone who controls...
You were a guest on a show, it was a female.
Uh-huh. Any one of the top ones that run religion is always in on the big agenda. They know what religion's for. They've been trained since a very young age as to not only what it's for, but the whole history, not only of the religion that they're put in charge of, but the history and the social histories and the governmental histories behind all the religions. And so they are way above simple, you know, rituals for the public, waving smoke in front of their eyes and all this kind of stuff. So they are in on the importance of their role over the public.
But are you agreeing or disagreeing with that premise that there are 360-degree Masons out there?
Of course there are, yeah. Of course there are. There's 360 degrees in a circle. In ancient times, they used to have 360 days in the year. Ancient Egypt ran on 360, and you see the serpent eating its tail. And that's what it symbolizes. It's in so many of the high Masonic emblems. It's incredible. It's not just the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, or simply the rebirth as you go round in the circle of life and into another reincarnation. It's also the whole circle. And that's what they talk about too, when you're going round the circle or the block. You're circling the block. It still doesn't occur to most of the guys who even perform that ritual the full significance of what they're involved in.
So the world is run by secrecy, and power is never shared, and knowledge is power. And of course these guys use science to wield their power and maintain their power over the people at all times. But as I say, the MO of these people down through the centuries is always the same. They run the religious business, whichever religion they make dominant for a people, they run it. They also run the pharmaceutical industry. They had that in ancient Egypt too. They run the herbal industry at the same time. They run the legal system, and they run the illegal system, and they also run the illegal drug system. So and prostitution and so on. All of these things have been run by them from the most earliest of times.
And when we say them,
yeah,
who are we saying is?
You're talking about an elite who have their own religion, their own belief system, which differs from everyone else's. And they believe that they spiritually, their spirit is different from that of Joe Average. They believe that they were a separate created race, you might say, spiritually and physically, from Joe Average.
So they actually believe in the eternity of the spirit, of the soul, or?
Yeah, what they believe is that they themselves were banished or cast out, and this is where the whole fallen angel theology comes from. And because they were created higher than man, they still retain special powers when they arrived here, and through pure will, through willing it to happen, they created their own physical bodies, which they claim were perfect, and they could do amazing things psychically with telekinesis and so on. But when they started to interbreed with the native people, the humans here, they began to lose those powers. And so then they returned to the intensive inbreeding to try to get back to what they were.
And I remember you saying this on the more recent broadcast that we've done together.
Yeah.
And you say what you said is they when they began interbreeding with the humans here, which sounds like, okay, where did they come from, if not from here?
Yeah. Well, they believe, again, that there was a creator. There's no doubt that they believe there was a creator.
Or a maker.
Mm-hmm. But they rebelled, and that's where, again, the rebellion comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And because they believed they had all the powers of the creator himself. And, of course, that's where all your Luciferian doctrine comes from, is from the same theology. That's why the symbols are all over the world of the Lucifer and all its guises, you know, the light bringer, and so this is an ancient religion which belongs to an inbred special few.
From myself, Alan Watt. This good night to me, your God or your gods go with you.